Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome to Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here with my co-host tonight, Red Beckman and Dr. Kate. Who have we got live with us here, folks?
Dr. Kate is here, but we're waiting for Red.
Well, while we're waiting for Red, I'll just open us with a prayer, and hopefully he'll be along shortly. He did mention that he could
here
be
he
a
is.
Couple minutes late. But
here he is.
Good evening, Red.
Good evening to you. I dialed the wrong number, and that's why I'm a little late.
That's okay. Well, hi, Red.
good evening, everybody.
Personal testimonies and confessions are welcome, as you know, Red. So.
Yeah.
I'm going to open us up with a prayer. Almighty, powerful, Abba, Father in heaven, tonight, I'd like to kind of phrase our consistent request to you a little differently. And that is, Father, we want you to be our partner. We want you and Yahshua and your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh. We want your Son and your Spirit to be partners with us here at Walls in Our Minds. Tonight we want to focus on the spiritual battle that's going on, that's raging out here, that we've been observing and talking about for a number of years now. And we want to focus especially on those things that Satan does to counterfeit things that would otherwise be good, things that originate from your creative ability. And we want to focus on the fact that he does not have that creative ability, that he is not you. And so he works with counterfeits, things that have a false front, a lot of fraud and misrepresentation and lies involved in them. And we want to bring that out to the people so that they can have a clearer picture of this spiritual battle. So we ask, Father, that you help us put this forward in a way that is understandable to everyone listening here tonight, and all those that will listen to the archive. So we ask for your partnership. We want to follow your lead. We want to be on your team. So that's our request tonight, and we put that request forward in the name of your Son. Amen. Well, Red, I think I just spilled the beans right there in that prayer on what we're going to talk about.
That's okay. I think it's appropriate that we look back at the time when we did about 13 weeks straight on talking about the satanic counterfeits that we're confronted with on a regular basis in every facet of our lives. We are confronted with these counterfeits. And as our nation here is hanging on the brink, hanging on by our fingers on the cliff to keep from going over and into total chaos and total misery for the American people, it's more important right now than ever that we be able to define our situation and try to explain what must be done to salvage this great nation. And so I think it's appropriate that we go in that direction tonight. And I'm just glad that that Dr. Cade is on with us and you're there. And we'll just see how this develops tonight.
Well, it's been a little while since we really focused on this. Like you said, we did a bunch of shows on it, you know, about a year ago. And those were some, I thought, some of the best shows we've ever done. They were, some of them were exceptional. It certainly opened up my thinking and helped me to see a little bit more truth around me. I believe that was true probably all of us. And I know that our listeners were responsive to it. We're still getting archive hits on some of those, even from that long ago. So I guess I'd just like to kind of open it up to each of you to start, to maybe bring us up to date on what your experience has been in observing these counterfeits and the way these counterfeits work to deceive the people particularly. Since we did those shows, and how things have kind of changed in your thinking since then. Red, you want to start?
Well, nothing has changed my thinking on this, except that, you see, I first comprehended this truth about the satanic counterfeits and how that if we can understand these, the Bible becomes much more understandable. It becomes more, a guideline for us. And, of course, if you read something in the Bible that is talking about God's plan for mankind, God's plan for planet Earth, you should have your minds pretty well disciplined to the point where you don't proceed any farther until you have identified the satanic counterfeit to that which you believe, it appears, is God's plan. What you have with this is a confirmation. When you read in the scriptures about something that God has planned for us, and then you find the satanic counterfeit, that is a confirmation that you have discovered a very, very sound truth, and a truth that we need to incorporate into our daily lives. And of course, Dr. Cade, when I was in Kalispell, Montana here just a few weeks ago, I brought out how that John 8:32, Christ made the statement. He said, "Know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It does not say believe the truth. It says, know the truth, and the truth would make us free. We are not free in this country now at this point for the simple reason that truth has been a very scarce commodity. Just as I was eating a bite here before the show here, we had ABC News on, National News with Diane Sawyer, and everything is about Nelson Mandela and his death over there in South Africa. And you see, anymore, I've tried to discipline my mind to where when I hear something like this on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox News, I immediately, I recognize that here is part of the satanic counterfeit. Those five major news media, if you want to know what's satanic counterfeit is really on the menu from the liberals, the communists, and the outright lawbreakers, against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all of that. You're going to get exposed to those counterfeits with those five major news networks. And tonight, why, of course, everything is about Nelson Mandela. And of course, over the next few days, I'm sure that you will be able to find on the Internet emails explaining exactly what kind of an individual this was and what the story is, or the true story, about South Africa. Because you're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear that on those five major networks in this country. And so, there was somebody had a report on the email here that I got, and telling us how that NBC or I don't ever watch it. NBC, what is it? The web site for MSNBC, and how that they have lost about half of their audience in just 1 year. And they had a calculation, too, about how much CNN had lost. This is good news to me. If we have that many people that are dropping out of MSNBC because of the fact that they detect they're not getting the truth, they're getting propaganda, and that's good news. I hope they continue to lose their audience. And so as we're here on this program tonight, I can assure you that our nation is in great, great jeopardy at this moment. There's just the potential of some very serious things happening unless our Heavenly Father intervenes. And I'm an optimist. I believe that our Heavenly Father is going to intervene, and I think it's happening right now. And I think Dr. Kate, the producer on this, is part of that right at this moment. We're all aware of Agenda 21 and what it is. It's something that one of the tools to bring in the New World Order, the Satanic World Order. And Dr. Kate has been pretty close to that, and I hope she tells us some of the story of what's happened in her days in the last year, which has been such a thrill for me, because it happened in the state of Montana, where I've got some roots there that I'm not about to cut off. I still love my state of Montana, even if I'm not there. So with that, I'll let that turn it back to you.
Well, one of the things I'd like to do to start us out is to kind of list out some things that we might consider as counterfeits. And while I'm going through this list, each of you might pick out one or two or three of these that you'd like to personally talk about tonight. So, I mean, and you don't have to go by this list. It's certainly not all-inclusive, but it'll just at least get the listeners to understand some of the things that have been counterfeit. And there's a common thread. The common thread is that in each one of these, you'll find that there is a hidden agenda. Each one has an exoteric false front. And by that, I mean that they represent it as being one thing, but in reality, each of these are something quite different than what they've been represented. So the people are being deceived by this false front, if you will, on each one of these. So here's just a list, and I'll just throw some out. Of course, the most popular one recently has been Obamacare. But Obama himself is a counterfeit. Expanding a democracy or expanding democracy throughout the world is a counterfeit. Central bank, EPA, war on terror, war on drugs, the income tax, which is a counterfeit tithe, Agenda 21, which you mentioned, the Endangered Species Act, water compacts, or any of the compacts that they've been trying to do, which really translates to federal jurisdiction, which is another counterfeit. They have counterfeited what they deem a federal jurisdiction, and I want to personally talk about that one a little bit tonight. Federal zones, which is a part of that that counterfeit federal jurisdictions. Zionism is a huge one in this country. I think, Red, you might want to address that one a little bit. I know you're in the process of writing a book, and you don't want to spill all of that, but maybe you could share a few tidbits with us. Israel is a counterfeit today, as it's known today. Global warming, the oil bourse, the metal markets, IMF, which is International Monetary Fund, the crown. You know, very few people really know what the crown means or what it represents. 501c3 corporations. As a matter of fact, the whole gambit of fraudulent legal fictions, including birth certificates, licenses, the ones that really are controlling us severely, is the Federal Reserve and FRNs, or Federal Reserve notes, what people today have come to believe were dollars that they carry around in their pocket, when in fact they're not. Well, there's quite a list, and I think you'll see that common thread runs through all of these things. And each time we talk about this, maybe we should address exactly how that common thread of the hidden agenda to each one of those operates. Kate, is there some of these that you'd like to maybe start out with?
As soon as I unmute myself, I'd be happy to. Good evening, everyone. The most, at least relevant for me right now, is the whole, really, it's a combination of a few of those that you read. One of which is federal jurisdiction and the federal God. Another is Agenda 21. And another is these water compacts, one of which I've been working here in Montana. And of course, Obama's recent faux pas, well, it's more than that, disaster with health care, has provided, I think, not only the Affordable Care Act itself is a name for something that's not about affordable care, health care, or anything else. It's about the transfer of wealth, transfer of FRNs, but basically the transfer of wealth and the destruction of the medical field in the United States. But anyway, his faux pas or the lies basically on healthcare have had kind of an interesting exposure to the difference between truth or believing and knowing. And of course, the thing that we were taught to believe is that if you like your healthcare, you can keep it. But what we know now is that is absolutely a lie. Well, in Montana, as part of these water compacts, and I'm not saying all of the water compacts, but the one I'm working on right now, there's a very easy way to tell you what's going on with this water compact, and that is, if you like your water right, you can keep it, period. And that's what people have been trying to say. Oh, we're protecting irrigators. We're protecting your water rights. If you like your water right, you'll keep it. Don't worry about it. And what we've found out, absolutely, what we know now is that is not true. And so when you begin to look at what has been foisted on people, they're asking you to believe a whole bunch of things that when you actually take a look at them, you know that they're not true. So this compact is supposed to, you know, resolve the Federal Reserve water rights of a tribe. And we know nobody, you know, everyone knows about the history of tribes and, you know, carries around some guilt for that. And at least here in Montana, people don't object to tribes and believe that they do have water rights and so forth. And so this gigantic 1,400-page paper compact is supposed to resolve those water rights. And it's just the way it's been presented is it's an Indian water settlement. That's all we're doing. And we're protecting your water rights in it, and we're protecting your private property, and not to worry. And literally, you can just tag that directly with Obama's statement. If you like your property rights, you can keep them. Yeah, right. And it's been a remarkable awakening of people here, almost exponential. And I would say that about a number of other issues that are going on in this country, is that back to that statement of John 8:32 or 8:22, ye shall know 32. The truth. 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's not that you believe the truth, because right now we are at a point where there's so many lies out there. There's so many lies out there that people are believing them. And but if you know what's going on, then you realize it's a fake. So with regard to this water compact that's just protecting your water rights and just resolving an Indian water issue, the answer is no, it isn't. When you know what this compact is about, essentially the compact transfers all private water rights to the federal government. So the federal government will control the water rights in western Montana. And this is no joke. I'm not exaggerating. I've seen the appendices in this compact where the water right is held in the name of the United States. And it's all over western Montana, 11 counties, 360,000 people, just about every major stream and river. And there are lots of details that I won't get into, but the broader piece of this, and you talked about hidden agendas. This is Agenda 21. This is the false federal god. This is not about an Indian water settlement. Too bad, too, because my criterion for judging whether something is good for an Indian community is whether it really helps the people, and this does not. I can, you know, see right through it. So the counterfeit is a counterfeit water settlement that's supposed to resolve longstanding water rights with tribes, and what it really is Agenda 21 is federal control, and the federal god is using the tribes as a means of gaining control over water, which is a gift from God to everybody in Montana, and wherever we all are, that's a gift of God, gift from God. That's not to be controlled by, meted out by, charged for by any one person. That's a gift. And so it strikes me as one huge layer of counterfeits, solving an Indian water issue. No, that's not true. Protecting your water rights. No, that's not true. Dividing the water equally. No, that's not true. Federal control over the water. Yes, that's true. That's what this is. but the layers that you have to get through are really, they've been very creative, I guess. Satan is, Satan is not creative. Satan is basically tried to imitate things and use words that convey a completely different concept when the underlying issue is federal control over the water, kicking people off the land, ruining the economy of Western Montana, breaking down government, breaking down our relations with our neighbors. It is most vicious when you get right down to this. There's, you know, farming and ranching is hard work. And the last thing you need is to be fighting with your neighbors, and the last thing you need is to have your neighbors giving away your water rights without you knowing about it. So the influence here is quite significant, and I just have to say that the lies and the confusion, those come directly from Satan. And so I have to look at what's going on here from that satanic influence, basically, which is Agenda 21. Remember, when Christ was in the wilderness, Satan tempted him to come up on top of a mountain and said, all this is going to be yours if you just follow me. All the wealth, all the kingdoms, all of the land, that will be yours if you just follow me. And Christ refused. But what we have here is we have people who've accepted Satan's challenge or Satan's idea. If you want control of all of this, just follow me. And by following Satan, you tell lies, confusion is your tool, and essentially it is destructive. It's not creative. Negotiations are supposed to bring people together. What this water negotiation has done is divided families against each other, Indians against non-Indians, neighbors against neighbors, the state government against its own people, lawyers against lawyers, but, you know, that's a whole other issue. They could go ahead and fight with each other. So I'll stop there, but that is one of the things that I think has been stunning to me, is to see what supposedly was a harmless water settlement, really with the mask off, you see that it's all about Agenda 21 and all about, and Agenda 21, of course, is the fake New World Order. That's the counterfeit, because the only New World Order that's coming is God's kingdom, and he will rule, not this this gaggle of men and women pursuing their own views and their own concepts of what is justice. It's stunning to me, very stunning. So I'll stop there.
Well, Kate, I'm going to kind of pick on you for a second. I threw a message in the Skype IM at you. I think it's important for people to really clearly understand the enumerated powers, and that is those powers that have been delegated through the states, through the Constitution, to our employees, our servants in the federal government, and they are limited in what those powers that were delegated are. And people talk about enumerated powers, but I don't think they really grasp them tightly. I don't think they clearly recognize how strict these limitations are on this false federal god. And I'm wondering if you can kind of elaborate a little bit to help people get a clearer picture of why these things that we've listed, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, are violations of those enumerated powers, and by that alone signals the fact that they're counterfeit. Can you elaborate a little on that?
Sure. One of the biggest pieces, of course, is that nowhere in the Constitution or within its delegated powers, does Congress or the federal government have any right to control what any state does with its water resources? Nor does the Constitution allow the federal government to take lands away from states the way they have and lock them up. A third area is nowhere in the enumerated powers is an agency such as EPA allowed to say that, you know, a cow fart is causing global warming and that as a result of that, all the cows have to be removed from the land. So with water in Montana, much of the Montana is a big headwater state, so much of the water runs downstream and it's used by hydropower, by Bonneville Power Administration. Even in the Commerce Clause, which is one of the delegated powers of Congress to regulate, which means to make regular interstate trade, does not mean that it has the right to come in and regulate water use or water quality or anything having to do with that development, even if there is a federal Indian reservation. Indian reservations were created by treaties, so that's another aspect. But the treaties are what they are. Congress has plenary authority over Indians, but that does not extend to states. So I would say, just in my own example, Congress and the federal government, and in particular the Department of the Interior, has no right to use a tribe against a state, which is what's happening here, is using tribes and their particular status as a way to lock up water. One of the other things that is extremely disturbing is the representatives and senators here, two Democrat senators and one Rhino Republican representative, like locking up lands in wilderness. Where in the Constitution is that? Are they allowed to do that? To use the EPA to stop oil and gas leasing and to really gut the state's ultimate authority within not only the Constitution but Amendments 9 and 10. What we have, I've thought a lot about the existing state government and whether those existing state government officials are in fact agents of the federal government. And when I look at what is happening, at least in this water area, I know that the agenda is a federal agenda. It has nothing to do with states' rights. And so we have some state officials who basically are just implementing a federal agenda. And that goes completely against any enumerated power that Congress has. So with that, I would have to say the most dangerous piece that the federal government has used has been the Commerce Clause, and they fit everything underneath it. And remember, that's how they justified Obamacare and made it a tax, because they said that they could regulate the healthcare industry because it crosses borders. So with regard to water, because water crosses borders, they're viewing that as something that they have complete regulatory control over. And it is, a fight to the death, if you will, because people are not giving up their individual property rights. They're shocked at their state government for allowing this to happen. And as a result, people are banding together and using whatever resources we can to take a stand here. And it's coming right down. Montana's a beautiful state. It also has a lot of federal land. And when you add a, quote, federal reserved water right, or you add the taking of water rights even off the reservation, it's not a stretch of the imagination to see that federal control over all water courses in western Montana is the result.
Well, you know, we frequently put the term satanic in front of counterfeit, and I opened this up by referring to this as a part of the spiritual battle. And now we're talking about enumerated powers, and yet we've got constitutional amendments that actually could be included on this list of counterfeits, like the 14th and the 16th and the 17th.
And the whole Constitutional Convention idea.
Well, there's some dangers in that by them controlling it, just like they use all of this to control things. I don't think that method would necessarily be a counterfeit in and of itself, except that the counterfeits will all be used to control that and to make it out to be something it's not being represented as. And I guess that's what you're referring to, is the fact that they're representing it to be one thing when it really is most likely going to turn out to be something very different. And I think on that note, I don't want to get sidetracked on it, but I believe that there are some people out there with some very good intentions who are trying to put some constraints on that because they believe that it could be a good thing with the right constraints. I don't agree with that. I don't believe that the states, legislatures, even exercising their sovereignty like they should be, will be sufficient to prevent bad things from happening in a con today. But let's not go there right now. That maybe we could have a whole new show on that one all by itself, and maybe bring some people in with some diverse opinions on that could maybe share some thoughts on it. Because I don't think we've had a really good discussion on that. We've thrown out the dangers of it, but I believe we need to hear some differing opinions on that in order to really get a good understanding of it. Now, so let's plan a show about that. I think that's a good idea. I will take it upon personal responsibility to plan a show on that topic. But right now, I'd like to come back to these amendments, for example, and let Red interject a little bit here, how particularly the 16th and 17th, and I'd like some feedback on the 17th, not just the 16th, and how these represent counterfeits at this point. Red, can you go there, or you want to address maybe something different?
Well, no, we've got another tax time coming up here, and I'm sure that there are tax accountants all over the country that are working long hours right now for major companies and businesses to try to get their tax problem out of the way before April 15th. And so that's coming up. So I think that it's something that we really need to address at this point and more or less get people to thinking about it. It was back in Montana, and I'll just have to go back in the history, because the history, I was very much a part of it, and so I really think we need to look at the history of what has happened in just my lifetime. Back it was 35 years ago or so, of course, I took on the Internal Revenue Service, and because it dawned on me, this is when I first started to grasp this truth about the counterfeit, the satanic counterfeits, and how that we need to identify them so that we're better equipped to do the work that our Heavenly Father wants us to be doing here on planet Earth. And I recognize the fact that the federal income tax is a satanic counterfeit to the God-ordained 10% tithe that is told or, you know, explained in our scriptures, in our holy Bibles. The tithe was to be a voluntary 10% return to the God that gives us the rain, and of course it was a 10% of our productivity that we were advised. We weren't told we had to. There was nothing mandatory about it. It was all voluntary. And if we recognized our Heavenly Father and His love for us and His plan for us, we would show our appreciation to Him and our thanksgiving. We would return to our Creator 10% of our productivity, and we would return it voluntarily. Now, I have had copies of the Internal Revenue Laws and their manuals and all this kind of thing for many years. And it's not unusual to run across a statement in their own writings and say that the tax is a voluntary tax. But if they if you don't volunteer, they're apt to charge you criminally, and the federal judge would be more than happy to send you to jail if you were found guilty. And of course, that started my crusade to try to get my fellow Americans to understand how important their vote is on a grand jury or on a trial jury. We have information, of course, now that indicates that federal judges are given a special award, monetary, you might say bribe, every time that they sentence somebody to prison for a violation of the IRS code. Well, here it says that in the code that it says it's a voluntary tax. And the judges and the prosecutors and the IRS saying, you either volunteer or you go to jail. Now, this is such an outrageous violation the language and everything. We all know what the word voluntary means. We don't have to go to a dictionary to find out what voluntary means. We all know what it means. And here they are. Right in the law, it's right there in English, and anybody can read it if they do a little search and find out that they're admitting that it's supposed to be a voluntary tax. Well, the 10% tithe that the scripture talks about, that's voluntary, but there's no place in there that says anything about whether we're going to go to jail or go to hell or anything else if we don't volunteer to put up the 10% tithe. Anyway, back in Montana, I was having a conversation late at night. It was June of 1980. That's 33 years ago. And this gentleman, he had gotten the spark that I had lit in Montana as I traveled the state and did a lot of speaking and rallies and all kinds of things going on. And he had gotten motivated to become involved in the tax protest, I guess. And we were talking, and it was late at night. And this fellow's a very, very intelligent, a super mind. And he said, Red, he said, you've been traveling the state of Montana, and you've got a list of lies that we have been told by our public servants. They lied to us about Pearl Harbor, and they've lied to us about Korea and Vietnam and Social Security and energy shortage and Watergate, Social Security, the Kennedy assassination, you name it. They have lied to us about everything that is really, that we're very much aware of. And he said, you know, Red, you don't suppose they lied to us about the 16th Amendment and whether it was properly, lawfully ratified. I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't thought of it. And so that started the discussion. And so we talked about it then, and I think it was getting close to 1 o'clock in the morning. Because we had been, he would call and we'd talk late at night when we weren't being interrupted. And he said they lied about everything else, so we have to assume that they lied to us about the ratification of the 16th Amendment. He said, we're going to find out. And he helped get a few farmers, ranchers, small business people together, about, well, not more than 8 or 10 people really got involved. And so they called themselves the Montana Historians, and they started contacting the various states, all of the states. In fact, we only had, we didn't have 50 at that point, I guess. But anyway, they contacted all of the states. But it wasn't, they had only been working on this for 4 or 5 months or so, and in the fall of 1980, I was writing my book, Born Again Republic, at that time, and one of the people that was involved in this Montana Historians went to Helena, Montana, and he was snooping around in the state law library, and he got into one of the back storage rooms, and he found a copy of a law or a report. It was called Senate Document 240. And it had the official report on how the different amendments had been attached to our U.S. Constitution. And, of course, when the Montana Historians had a chance to look at that Senate Document 240 and what it had to say about the 16th Amendment, they came to the conclusion very quickly that the 16th Amendment to our Constitution was an absolute total fraud perpetrated on us back there in 19. Now, that's a long time ago. And I wrote that in that book, Born Again Republic. I wrote it at that time that we knew that the 16th Amendment was a fraud. The Montana Historians didn't stop there. They also researched the 17th Amendment. And you see what they got? They contacted the archives in all of the states and asked for copies of the debates and the reports in the state legislatures of how the state legislatures had voted on the 16th Amendment and on the 17th. And, of course, the 17th was just as much of a fraud as the 16th Amendment, and the 17th, of course, did almost as much damage or probably as much or more than the 16th, and people don't realize that at all because there's probably only 1 out of 100 of our countrymen that know what the 17th Amendment is, and that's where prior to the 17th, the state legislatures, they appointed the U.S. senators from their particular state, and they appointed two U.S. senators, and those two U.S. senators had to, give account of how they performed to the state legislature. In other words, the state legislature, they had very close contact with their U.S. senators from their state, and they could hold them accountable for their votes in the U.S. Senate. And so the 17th Amendment made it so that the senators, states, U.S. senators, were elected at large across the state. And it's been a problem, a very serious problem, because it took the states out of the picture. The state legislature lost their suffrage, and we're suffering under that today. And so I've said more than I should here probably, but these enumerated powers, this is so vital that we learn about these enumerated powers, and if we get called for jury duty in any kind of a case, whether it's EPA, FDA, whatever it is, income tax, we need to know what these enumerated powers are so that if we're on a serving on a jury, we are the ones responsible for the enforcement of the Constitution for the United States of America. It is not the U.S. Supreme Court. Yes, they are responsible, and they need to have a proper decision. But we have to remember that Supreme Court judges, district court judges, appellate court judges, all of them are public servants. They all live. They are all paid from the tax monies that are collected from we the people, and every single one of them have a conflict of interest. And it's you and I, the sovereign citizen, that has the right and the duty, the responsibility to, enforce the Constitution, make the government obey and live under the law. We were to have a government of law, not men. And today we got a government of men. And so I'll stop right there because I've gone long enough.
Well, I'll throw a question at you real quick. It's not exactly on what you're talking about, but I think we need to come back to this concept of jurisdiction. Kate opened it up, and I think we need to really kind of constantly on each one of these draw it back to a jurisdictional question. Here's a question I'll throw out, and either one of you can take this on if you want. Maybe even some of our listeners and some of our callers might be able to address this question, but for example, what right does a federal district court judge, what right does he have to tell a county sheriff whether or not that sheriff can file suit against a state?
Well, the judge doesn't have the jurisdiction because he doesn't have that enumerated power. And he is totally out of line, and he needs to be impeached by the U.S. Congress. And, you know, the United States Congress should vote articles of impeachment against him, and he should be tried before the U.S. Senate.
But the U.S. Senate, as we know, especially based on Amendment 17, is one of the counterfeits.
Right. Absolutely.
So explain a little bit about why Amendment 17 changed our republic.
Well, it took the states, you see, were to be a check. You and I as individuals were to be a check against the politicians, the people in office, the public servants, all branches of government. We as the kings in our castles were to be, at the top of the power structure, and we were to judge the activities, the performance of those who are called public servants. And we're not doing that. And, of course, we don't know. The people don't know because we let the government take over the public education system. And, of course, at this point, they've also taken over the churches with the 501c3 contracts and the IRS. And so we've really got a lot of things stacked up against us. However, what we have heard from Dr. Kate tonight has proven that there can be, at this stage of the game, we are seeing some very positive results when people wake up and start to stir and start to look around and observe where they're at and what's happening around them. Now, I like to think that some of our television and my speaking engagements across the state of Montana back there, 35 years ago or better, are paying off today, because there are people, I think Dr. Cade has run into people in Montana that were exposed back there many years ago to the truth, and now that I tried my best to alert my fellow Americans to the dangers that were being brought into our lives, and we had to do something. And so it is happening. I'm very encouraged because of what Dr. Cade said tonight, because if this works out the way it looks like it is right now, Agenda 21 is not going to get just a bloody nose out of this one. They're going to get two black eyes, too, at least. And Agenda 21 is going to get hammered in this deal in Montana. And it's happening in certain cases because, you see, these same kinds of things are going on all over the country. We had a program where we had a rancher and his wife from Northern California, Siskiyou County, that are being really harassed and damaged by Agenda 21 with the Klamath River, that program where they want to take out the dams in the Klamath River, and it's all counterfeit, the whole thing, because there's never been a salmon run in the Klamath River in all of history. And so it's all on phony science and everything else. And we've had those people on our program here one night, and it was a very interesting program that we had. So this kind of battle is going on all across our country. And we need to be thanking our Heavenly Father for this action, this reaction that we're having right now. And like the Obamacare, we've got some pretty strong people that are putting their reputation, their names on the line, talking about Obamacare, and that's a healthy thing. And so with that, I'll be quiet for a while.
Well, Kate, I know that you've probably had some thoughts just on what we've opened up with here, additional thoughts concerning what we've covered so far. Are you unmuted? Am I unmuted?
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, just the more we talk about the counterfeits that we see, and the more we expose them, I think the knowledge of people whose ears are open, who can hear, is expanding exponentially. And so I'd like to what we've discussed so far is really the income tax, Agenda 21, these alphabet agencies, various aspects of the federal God, including federal jurisdiction. And so I kind of would like to turn that back to you, Terry, and see what you might have to say about any one of these that you had listed. Except that, if I may, talk about global warming. You know, I have a post up right now that basically is about geoengineering weather. And what has been evident to me as I've studied HAARP and chemtrails and microwave pulses and the whole concept of weather modification that's been underway since the mid-1950s, at least, is that manipulation of the atmosphere, what is masking that, the counterfeit, or, well, the counterfeit is how dare they mess with God's creation? I mean, seriously. But the mask of that global warming, that the environmentalists and everybody's all worried about global warming, is just masking intentional man-made manipulation of the weather through things that they can no longer control. And when you mess with something like the air and water, these are gifts from God. It's unbelievable. So we used to rely on our prayers and on our relationship with God, and had weather events and things that, you know, the parting of the Red Sea and the, you know, the cloud that surrounded the children of Israel as they left out of Egypt, that hid them. These are things, these are God's creations, these are things. And the whole scare about global warming, global climate change, that we can do anything about it, is a mask for manipulation of the weather through these various different high technology tools. And that is a counterfeit for God's creation, period. Weather, temperature, sunshine, rain, all of those things God created. Now man thinks that he can do that and make it rain over here and make it snow over there and, you know, cause earthquakes over here. That is stunning to me. So that's just another sort of mask, if you will, that is really getting at man's manipulation. When God said to take dominion, he didn't mean modify the weather or change the frequency of rainfall. He didn't mean that. He meant take dominion over Satan, who was here, Satan who has tried to take over everything here through Agenda 21, through these other things. So again, it's so I just wanted to mention that, but wanted to basically invite you as well to share with us some of your thoughts on this.
Well, many of these things tie in with one another. Obviously, you know, we know this, but you know, you look at the global warming situation, and they tried to claim that the aerosol spraying program, once they finally were forced to admit that they are spraying an aerosol program into our ionosphere. I mean, the pictures are pretty clear from the satellite imagery that it's gotten to a point where you can look at satellite imagery and it looks like somebody's playing tic-tac-toe over every state and every country and over every republic and even out over the oceans. You know, my nephew's been watching this over in the Atlanta area, and some of the imagery that he sent me has just been phenomenal, how clear these checkerboard patterns are, the way that they create these X's in the sky. It's really amazing. But to me, this area of the aerosol spraying program, you know, they use global warming as an excuse. There are a few things that we've learned. One was that the space program from the jet fuel, rocket fuel that was being burned, sending up all these satellites and missions and all this stuff, were one of the byproducts of all of that burning of that fuel by those rockets and this blast to get them out of the atmosphere. Or out of the Earth's gravitational pull so that they can orbit and et cetera, was putting chlorine into our ionosphere, and it was actually destroying the ozone layer. Well, now that they've made it worse by spraying all these other particulates up there, like strontium and aluminum oxide and barium oxide, et cetera, now they've cut the amount of the sun rays, and they're trying to say that it's supposed to help defeat the global warming, but in fact they've learned that it's done just the opposite. Well, because of the damage that they've done already to the ozone layer and the ionosphere, they're claiming now that they have to keep spraying, because if they don't, it's going to be a real problem for the earth. And all of this is just lies. And when people start asking me the question, why are they doing this? You know, that to me is a perfect opening to somebody to say, this is a spiritual battle. Because if you don't relate to the fact that it is a spiritual battle, that Satan, in fact, is working through his minions, who the banksters are, you know, these folks worship Satan. And he works through them because he wants to reclaim our Creator's creation. He wants to claim it for his own, and he wants to control the people, and he thinks nothing about life. Whether it's temporal, mortal life or eternal life, he doesn't give a care to any of us. He doesn't mind the thought of wiping out 90% of us. So when I start talking about genocide and theft of personal property rights being major causes of why they're doing this weather warfare, because they use these particulates that they spray with the aerosol program. They use that to hit it with low-frequency radio waves, and they either steer or grow or cancel out storms. If they hold it in place, it'll steer a storm around it and create a drought, which obviously, you know, if they're claiming that this stuff is silver iodide, I believe that's what it's called, which was known for many years as one of the things that they could use to do cloud seeding. Well, you don't create droughts and you don't create tornadoes with that stuff. And they have to hit it with the low-frequency radio waves and very high wattages in order to create all of this weather warfare. But it also can be used to generate earthquakes. But this is a perfect intro to help people understand that there's a spiritual battle going on. Because, you know, Satan is the father of all lies. Well, we know that they've been lying to us about a HAARP and you know, the weather warfare and the global warming, and all of this ties back in. It all ties back into the Agenda 21 stuff. But their control of us, they don't just want to control our life or, you know, the fact that they're killing people. They want to control our production. That's what our happiness is the enjoyment of our production. And they have been for a long time, since, you know, even before Red was born, which, you know, was almost back to Moses. But, you know, they've been controlling us for a long time, and we didn't realize how much control they had over us because we didn't know any better. They, you know, even our fathers and our parents that are now gone, the folks that fought in World War I and World War II, or mostly only a handful of them left now. All the way back to the time they were born, we've been lied to by the media, by movies, by newspapers, by, you know, our education system. We've all been lied to so much that we didn't have our eyes open to this stuff. And now that we're beginning to see this and see how far back it goes, it's a perfect opportunity to help people recognize that it's not just about today. It's not just about Obama. It's not just about this Congress. It's been a long, drawn-out plan throughout the whole history of humanity that Satan has been involved in to reclaim Yahweh's creation. And that's really where we're at with this. And is any of this stuff in the enumerated powers that we granted to these turkeys that we've sent over to Washington, D.C., that no longer even operate as a constitutional republic, who no longer are even the Senate's no longer under the control of our state legislature, which has diminished the sovereignty of our state legislatures? I mean, it just all ties together if you see that, and I hope I was clear in the way that I put that out there to show you how it all ties together, and it's not new, and it's not just some incompetent person doing this today. It's a long, drawn-out, multi-generational, multi-millennium plan that is so sinister that it's almost beyond the average person's comprehension, because they just can't accept how sinister it is. Did I say too much?
No, I didn't. I haven't been around quite as long as you were indicating, but in my 85 years, I've seen a lot of history created. And I have mentioned this to many people that I communicate with on a regular basis. You see, we have something happening in the country, in the political world, and they call themselves the Tea Partiers. And these people don't want to listen to what we're the kind of stuff we're talking about, because they have this idea somewhat that all these problems that are besetting us in this country right today have been pretty well, you know, created since the Reagan years. The Reagan years were, you know, looking back, that was those were pretty good years. And so they don't want to hear. I've had very poor response with the Tea Party people. They think they've got all the answers. And, of course, we have now seen the results. Some of them got elected to the U.S. Congress back in 2010, I guess it was, and 12. And those poor fellows elected to Congress at that point, the media, of course, has tried to make them look very bad, and they probably aren't as bad as what the media has pictured them, but they really did not know enough about the system. They were people who went to the same kind of education process that I went through, and you, Terry, and Dr. Kate. Well, when the government shut down here a few weeks ago for a little short period of time, you know, these people had no clue as to what was really happening. And they were the wrong people got blamed for it. Of course, it was so easy to recognize that Obama was totally out of line when he ordered the national park shut down and things like this. Yellowstone Park, pretty well, the entrance fees and such paid most of the bills. But he shut those things down that would hurt the people, that would hurt you and I. They didn't. He didn't do anything to hurt the bankers. He didn't do anything to get to the real issues. He was trying to hurt the American people. And so I was reminded. I'm trying, as you said earlier. I'm in the biz, in the progress here of the planning of putting together another book. And I hadn't ever planned on writing a book when I hit this 85 years of age, but that's what I'm doing because I have the feeling that nobody is saying what needs to be said as loud as it should be said. And so I'm saying that the problem that we have with our Congress is that they went to the same kind of government schools that I did, and they were, inundated into the lies, and they weren't as fortunate as I was to be able to work my way through some of this and recognize what had happened to me. These people haven't recognized the counterfeit. They haven't recognized our congressmen and senators. They haven't recognized the spiritual aspect of the battle that we're in. Satan wants you and I dead because we are made. We came from the clay of this earth, and he claims the clay. He claims the planet Earth as his own, as his kingdom. And so we've got politicians and such that just do not understand that. When I first got involved in this freedom movement back in the late 60s and 70s, early 70s, one of the first things that happened to me was I had to stop and kind of analyze things, and I came to the conclusion that we were in a spiritual war, not just a political war. And we need to project that to our audience out there, the fact that we are in a spiritual war, that is, it's vital that we understand this, that we get a grasp on this, and that's what we're trying to do, I think, tonight. And so I'll shut up again for a while.
I just want to let our folks out there know that the phone lines are open, and if anybody would like to jump in here with a question or a comment related to their favorite counterfeit out there or anything in comment that we've already made, please hit a 1 to raise your hand so that we'll know that you are wanting a live mic. And we do have the phone lines open and are watching our board, so I know that there's some folks there listening, and just want to make sure you're aware. You need to hit a 1 if you want to speak. I'd kind of like to come back to this issue of jurisdiction, because I think it really is so critical to everything we're talking about tonight. Let me just pull this back up. I'd like to read, I read once before this Orders of the People that we put together at the All States Organic Initiative. Stephen Hance deserves credit for initiating those orders, and we all kind of chipped in and gave our opinions and critique and editing, et cetera. But I believe that really is a good place to start this conversation on jurisdiction. I know we've been talking about it all along, but I think that this is really important to bring out. So let me see here if I can pull that up. I've got it in front of me. I'm just going to read this real quick. This is called the Orders of the People. We designed it to be used by boards of review in their respective states and counties. And we're continuing to write additional orders, but this is what we started with. And again, hopefully Stephen Hance will come on the call here in a little bit and can elaborate a little bit more about this jurisdiction issue. Let's see. I just want to make sure that I'm not missing somebody. So, yeah, Stephen is on, apparently. Universal Orders of the People. Okay, we're calling it the Universal Orders of the People. And, Stephen, are you online now? Are you have you called in so that you can speak when I'm through reading this? Because I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit on how the federal jurisdiction has become a counterfeit. What the original enumerated power jurisdiction is versus, okay, Kate sees you on the board, and I'll have her give you a live mic just as soon as I've finished reading this Universal Orders of the People. By authority of the people of the several states of the American Federation of States, known internationally for the past 232 years as the United States of America, DBA, all caps, the United States, etc. We the people in virtual and actual Congress assembled hereby make and enter these our presence upon the record for all the world to see and for all of our public servants, officers, agents, and employees to heed, honor, and obey. To each of you who have taken an oath to uphold and defend the constitutions of the states you inhabit and of the United States, whether you have faithfully done so or not, by assuming the honors and powers of the office you hold, you are bound to honor the oath required, and we intend to hold you accountable to us, as in fact you are. Every legitimate peace officer, sheriff, and all members of the armed forces of these United States, past and present, also including the militias, whether organized or unorganized, will be called upon to enforce these lawful orders. First order, whereas all authority for any form of lawful governance comes from the consent of the people, it is impossible for the government to become superior in authority to the people who created it. And whereas, every state constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution for the United States of America all contain clear language declaring the foregoing to be true. We submit the following excerpts as evidence of this unrebuttable fact. From the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America, it reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness." From the Articles of Confederation, Article 2, each state retains its sovereignty, freedom, and independence, and every power, jurisdiction, and right, which is not by this Confederation expressly delegated to the United States in Congress assembled. From the Constitution for the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, Article 10, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Therefore, it is hereby ordered, sentenced, and decreed that everyone holding any public office anywhere in these several states or in the United States repent of your arrogance and haughty attitudes and to cease all actions whereby you presume to hold a superior role to that of the people to whom you owe allegiance and exhibit a submissive servant's heart. Your job is to protect our rights, not to become a bully and a tyrant. Second order. Whereas the foregoing first order is merely the foundation upon which a lawful government is built, restoring humility and an attitude of service in the minds of those holding public offices, especially the ones who come into daily contact with the people, is essential to restoring a constitutional republic. And whereas no government office or officer can manufacture powers for themselves that are not directly bestowed upon them by the Constitution and the laws made in pursuance thereof. And whereas all powers granted to the United States Congress are defined in Article 1, Section 8. The first 16 clauses are commonly known as the enumerated powers because they are specifically identified. The last two clauses of Section 8 identify powers that are exclusive to the United States Congress and cannot be encroached upon by the states because they pertain only to the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. That domain is strictly limited to the area commonly known as the District of Columbia and small parcels scattered throughout the states and over the seas. But it is not as extensive as we have been led to believe. And whereas that relatively insignificant area is called the Federal Zone, and it comprises several small islands in the Caribbean Sea and the Pacific Ocean, besides a few plots of land within the boundaries of the several states. It is a mockery and a sham for United States officers of any description from any branch of the government to impose a haughty attitude towards any of the people. We the people are your superiors. Furthermore, for any office or agency of the federal government to insinuate itself outside the federal zone, beyond its lawful jurisdiction, inside the external boundaries of any of the free and independent states that created the United States constitutes criminal behavior. Therefore, it is hereby ordered, sentenced and decreed that all federal agents operating within the external boundaries of any of the several states of the Union immediately cease and desist all official activities until such time as it may be determined whether it is lawful for you to continue to function on our soil. Any federal agent whose duties do not conform to the enumerated powers described in Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 1 through 16, found to be presuming to carry out official duties within any of the several states from this date forward will be subject to immediate arrest for criminal trespass onto the sovereign territory of a state and may be subject to articles of treason for attempting to impose a foreign jurisdiction on our land by attempting a forced overthrow of our lawful government. Anyone lawfully inhabiting a state where such an agent is found is hereby authorized to issue a complaint for a warrant of the law to arrest such an individual and place him or her into the custody of the nearest local sheriff. Any such sheriff is hereby ordered to incarcerate such an individual under force of arms, if need be, and bind such individual over for a trial by jury according to the rules of the common law, ordered by the people this 22nd day of their October month, 2013, and it's signed by a gentleman I'm about to introduce, Stephen Charles Hance, by myself, Gus Breton, who's also been online with us, Ed McFarland, and Albert Carista. Let's see. Concern, counterfeit of God's
Let me... Right. This is Kate. I'd just like to interject before we go any further. We've started out talking about the counterfeit to God's kingdom and where our allegiance really lies. We know that our country was founded on God's principles and that those are being taken away. And so I appreciate what you've just read, but I feel like we're going to be slipping away from our first discussion, which is more along the spiritual battle. So just with that caution in mind, and that we have about 30 minutes just to keep that in mind, that we need to keep bringing this back to God.
I believe Stephen can do a good job of that. Has he got a live mic?
Okay. Well, I don't know if I can...
Good evening, Stephen.
Excuse me?
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Feel free. I really would like for you to address this this idea of jurisdiction. We've been talking about counterfeits and especially how Satan has counterfeited a lot of things and how he's been behind this to really it's a function of upsetting the pecking order and removing our Creator God from the head of that pecking order and putting him at the bottom of the pecking order and putting themselves at the top of it above the people, above the government, and above the Constitution.
Right.
So I wanted to address this federal zone issue as a part of that. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. I don't know if I can totally assuage Dr. Kate's fears or answer her terms, but many years ago, 20 or so years ago, when I first began to become enlightened as to the subject matter before us, I discovered, I believe it's the little book of Jude, where he says the angels of the principalities and powers of the satanic majesties are chained in darkness. And it came to my mind that that describes the jurisdiction of evil. And it lies within the darkness. And when we bring the light, we escape from their jurisdiction, and we make void any power that they have or may have had over us. That keep that picture in your mind, because you can't fall subject to the powers of darkness unless you enter into their domain. Now, there's a great little photograph that I came across many, many years ago while I was in prison, in fact. It's a mile marker set up around the perimeter of the 10-mile square allotted to the United States for its original jurisdiction. And there's these little marble obelisks that are placed in the ground as a mile marker, and inscribed within the granite, the marble, are the words "jurisdiction of the United States." Back in 17, I believe it was late 18th century, so I don't know the exact year that they were placed in the ground. I think it was 92. Doesn't matter. They understood then the jurisdiction of the United States was a very clearly defined and limited area. Well, the thing of it is, that hasn't changed. The United States has absolutely no more jurisdiction today than it had in 1781. It's the, or pardon me, 1789. That jurisdiction has grown only by virtue of the dockyards, arsenals, forts, magazines, and other needful buildings as described and defined in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18. That jurisdiction has not changed except by that degree. And for the most part, the areas that are deemed to be within that context, in fact, are not federal territory at all. The jurisdiction of the United States does not extend to most of the forts, magazines, and arsenals that are established around this Federation. So we need to take a closer look at this singular fact because of the limitations that it puts on those devils in Washington City within the District of Columbia. It's just like the devils in hell. There's a limit to their jurisdiction. You get into their box, then yeah, you may become subject to their jurisdiction. But they have no lawful means of taking their legal, lawful, constitutionally defined jurisdiction, which means they have utterly zero authority outside of that domain. It's really that simple. The Federal Bureau of Investigation has absolute authority within the federal domain to investigate all the crimes and shenanigans that they want to. But when they come into North Carolina, they're committing a felony. That is basically, that's really all there is to say about it, unless somebody's got a question for clarification.
Well, Red, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, there's a problem with that. It's true. It's true. However, we're dealing with people out here with limited mental capacity to understand anything that might have, outside of their ability to comprehend and think. We've got to remember that probably 98 or 99% of our people are products of government schools where these people had their minds mentally crippled by false information, by propaganda and such. And as I mentioned earlier, talking about the people that call themselves the Tea Party people, they think that they have all the answers, and I have said, well, they're just getting to kindergarten level now, because I know what happened. I've been studying this thing. I was in the service in the Korean War, and I seen what was going on, and when I came out of the service, I knew our country was in trouble. But I was a product of the government schools and the government churches and the government media, and it has taken me years, and I still don't have it all, I'm sure. I know. I'm learning on a regular basis of more of what they did to us with this, and so I've tried to stress this over the years. We have to start talking to people at a level that they can comprehend. And I'll tell you, you're not going to get very many people to talk or understand what you're talking about when you talk about jurisdiction. You're absolutely correct in what you're saying. But I remember when I first started, I got up on a stump and started talking, and I tried to explain to people about the Federal Reserve Bank system and how what they were doing to us. And what happened? They either went to sleep on me or they got up and walked out. It wasn't until I started talking about income tax, because this got right into their hind pocket. And it was something that was something that they could understand. And so we've got to always keep in mind that we are dealing with people out there that are so mentally crippled that it's going to take generations, probably. Now, I've been around for 85 years. That's at least about two generations or three generations. And so I know what has happened. I've got my own grandchildren that they know Grandpa. He's got some pretty good ideas and such, but they they're limited, and they think, Grandpa, he's kind of talking through the top of his head or something. And they're not disloyal to me or anything like that, but they don't understand the depth of the problem that we've got. And so we better be very careful as we try to make the changes that we need. And of course, we're going to have to be very, very dependent upon our Heavenly Father to help us and direct us and give us the words to speak as we try to make a difference in the world that we're in. And so we've got to keep that in mind. I've been talking this for a long, long time, and in Montana, in the early 80s, the state of Montana, we had run those television specials, and the federal government, they have one federal grand jury in Montana, and they had 4 years that I know of that they had to admit to me when I went and asked them about it. They had to admit that they had not gotten one single indictment for tax evasion for a period of 4 years in the 1980s. It happened because we got to the level that people could understand. We used television. People were glued to their television sets. There were no cable networks. There were no satellites. Everybody in Montana was pretty well limited. They might get two stations on their television set, and most of it, of course, was black and white and all of that. But we were able to get to them because we talked a language that people could understand. I could understand it myself, and I'll tell you, I have learned a lot since 1979. Well, we run the first program on television in Montana in 1976, and we had a tremendous response. And I'll tell you, the enemy has done everything in the world, and they have a lot of power, illegitimate power, but they have a lot of power to counter what we're trying to do. So we have to stick with the truth. We have to stick with the direction that our Heavenly Father gives us to be effective. And we just don't dare forget the spiritual problem here, the spiritual aspect of this battle, because if we don't, if we try to do it on our own power, we're dead. We're not going to make it. So I'll shut up for now.
Well, Stephen, hang on just a second, because I'm going to come back to you very shortly. I want to talk about the term U.S. citizen in a minute with you, Stephen, and particularly how that term has come into being and how we are referred as to that way and how they've turned our identity into a fictitious legal entity and how that has caused our Creator to be taken off of the top of the pecking order and puts this shadow government into the position as God. But we've got a caller from area code 305, and I want to make sure we get their question in before we finish that conversation. So I just wanted to prepare you, Stephen. 305, you have an open mic.
Yes, my name is Bob, and I'm from Miami, Florida. And I'm hoping to see people that we can get some type of law passed in the country to make the people read the Federalist Papers. And there's a wonderful book out there. It's called The Federalist Papers in Modern Language by Mary Webster. And I'm hoping that people can understand separation of powers and checks and balances that we don't have in our government today. We have an awful lot of corruption in Florida. We just had the head of the Florida Bar Judicial Nomination Commission steal $1.4 billion from his clients. Now, this is a man that gives, he's got the sheriff of Broward County on his back pocket. He's got the governor in his pocket. I mean, the whole thing is a scam. And I don't believe that we're going to survive this thing much longer because it's corrupt from top to bottom. You've got lawyers in all three separate branches of government. You don't have any more separation of powers. You don't have a checks and balances. And believe it or not, there's a church, it's called the Church of God. It's Herbert W. Armstrong Church. And they have a magazine that goes out to 9 million members all over the world. And in that front page of the magazine, it's called the Philadelphia Trumpet, it says, United States is no longer under the rule of law. We are now under the rule of lawyers. And if we allow this to happen, we only have ourselves to blame because there's many, many people out there that were trying for public office. And again, we're not going to go any place because the lawyers have got a stranglehold on everyone in this country. The average citizen
okay. one of the things that we didn't mention on our list, I was talking about some of the counterfeit amendments, but another counterfeit is a missing amendment, isn't it? The
missing 13th Amendment, yes, and I hope they start to teach that in schools, and I hope they start
to absolutely.
The Bible
it's,
says
it's something. It's something we're going to be addressing in some of the orders that that we're doing with the through the All States Organic Initiative and the Boards of Review and. I appreciate your comment about that because it's something that crossed my mind earlier in the show, actually. Hang in there with us. I do want to get back to what Red was talking about. Red, you know, I wasn't ignoring what you said a while ago. In fact, I wanted to give this discussion about U.S. citizen and the jurisdiction issue as an example of exactly what you were talking about. And Stephen, I'm going to give you the floor a second. And you know, if you're not comfortable talking about this subject, I'll be glad to get on my soapbox a little bit. But they've created fictitious entities out of us with the birth certificates. They've they've called us something that we're not born as. We're not born as U.S. citizens. Can you address that issue a little bit and relate that to what Red was talking about? Because this is one of the ways that they've dumbed us down and removed God from the top of the pecking order.
Well, by God, I'm assuming, of course, that you mean the Creator, Yahweh. Don't let anybody fool you into thinking that they know exactly how to pronounce that great name. But it means a self-existing one. He is the creator of everything that is, the very source of all that is. And so to suggest that anyone has the ability to remove him from the top of the pecking order, as you say, is absurd. And I know you agree with that. It's a matter of choice of words and terms. He is who he is and always will be. You can't remove him from the place of authority that he holds and cannot not hold it. So it's a matter of perception and mental training that you're referring to. They created a fictional entity, that's true. When they record an event, they don't record people. They don't make people into anything. They record an event and they create a fictional entity with a name similar to ours, in all capital letters, for their own purposes. It is not true that they turn us into fictional entities. That's impossible. What they do is they trick us through the education system that you've referenced or alluded to into thinking that we and the entity, the fictional entity, are the same thing. They trick us into being the surety and acting as the agent and trustee of that that trust-like entity that they've created. All that is true, and that is the presumption and the assumption of jurisdiction that we've been hearing about and reading about for at least as long as I've been in this quest for knowledge. I've heard and read hundreds of articles and people talking on the subject that this fictional entity is how they gain jurisdiction over us, and that we've entered into all of these hidden contracts, and that gives them jurisdiction over us. And we've heard all of these arguments that we have fallen into a trap and that we are therefore in their jurisdiction, and we've got to do some kind of hoop jumping or magical pill popping to get ourselves out of their jurisdiction. And what I'm saying is it's baloney. It's all nonsensical, and it's wrong. The jurisdiction is a territorial creature. Jurisdiction is not something that lives in the ether. It's not something that lives within a contract. You cannot extend the jurisdiction of any government into that of another by virtue of a contract. And these are not even contracts that they're talking about. They're talking about
Stephen, let me ask you a couple of questions.
All right, sorry, I lost the word.
Are we born at the moment of birth, are we subject to the federal government?
It's impossible.
Who are we subject to?
You're subject to your creator and your parents.
And when we grow up, we end up still being subject to Yahweh, Yahshua, the creator God.
Can't escape it. That reality, that jurisdiction is absolute. It's not something that you can free yourself from.
According to the IRS tax code, what does the word subject to mean? What does subject mean?
Anything anything different than what it means anywhere else. Subject to means that you are beneath and accountable to whatever the subject is.
One of the things they interpret that as meaning is taxable by.
Right.
So what you said was is that when we're born, we're not subject to or taxable by that federal government.
No, not unless you are born within that federal zone, which I should be calling it the federal domain, because it creates confusion in some people's minds. The federal domain, it's the realm where they actually have authority. And, yeah, if you're born on the island of Guam, then you are a subject to the jurisdiction thereof. You're one of the people mentioned in the 14th Amendment.
But we have to voluntarily enter into that, and although I know most of us have gotten under fraud.
No, you don't. If you don't have any choice about where you're born.
No, but I'm saying that this system, becoming subject to, becoming this 14th Amendment U.S. citizen, is a voluntary system, is it not?
No, it's not. If you're born within the federal domain, you are a federal U.S. citizen. And you have the right to move outside the federal domain where you gain a state citizenship when it becomes your domicile.
If I'm born an American national in a state outside the domain of the federal zone, I'm not born a U.S. citizen. I'm born an American national and a citizen of the state in which I was born. Is that not correct?
Well, in a sense, yes, but keep in mind that even from the very beginning, go back to the original 13th Amendment that's been talked about here just briefly. It says that when anyone accepts, retains, or...
Are you still there?
Hello?
I'm not hearing you now. Red, while I'm not able to hear Stephen, I don't know if that's my connection or yours. Are you hearing him, Red?
I can hear him, not well, but I can hear him. Barely.
Well, I haven't done anything different.
Okay. Well,
hello?
Red, I'd like for you. I hear you now, Stephen. Red, I'd like for you to be able to jump in for just a second. We've got about 6 or 7 minutes left, and I'd like to continue down this path. Well, why do you, Red, believe that you're not subject to or taxable by that federal government?
Oh boy, you want me to do this in 5 minutes?
I'll give you at least four.
Well, you see, they don't bother me at all anymore because, you see, I'm the co-author of the book, The Law That Never Was, and there probably isn't anybody in the country that has a better handle on that situation and that sin that was perpetrated by a bunch of outlaws in Washington, D.C. Back in 1913. They don't bother me, you see. I'm not subject to them, and they know it because they know that I have the truth about who they are and how they are, lying and perpetrating this fraud against the American people. I have beat them so many times that they don't mess with me. That's the power of truth. You see, I have the truth, and they know that I have the truth. And as a result, truth has the power to overpower that which is false and to cause that which is false to become, visually people out there recognize the false, that they recognize that the truth has defeated that which is false. But you see, we've got these 99% of our fellow Americans that don't have the truth, and they don't have a value on truth. They don't value it as they should. If they had a value on truth, they would be working for it. They'd be searching for it. But you see, they think they have the truth when actually what they have is the lie. And they counterfeit. And so this is what we have to overcome. And so I don't know how to answer it any better than that in this short time. But, you know, they don't bother me. I haven't heard from them for, well, since about 1976 when I beat them in a case. And they just don't come around because truth is such a powerful weapon. And it's all it takes to take care of that which is the lie. And so this is what I've been trying to do for many years now is, you know, put the truth out there so that people can grasp, once they grasp that truth, they too can be free. Christ said it. He said, know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The jurisdiction issue is not going to go away until the people of this country, until they grasp the truth of all of this, when they grasp the truth that they have been deceived, they have made a serious mistake because they didn't have a value, they didn't value truth, and as a result, lie has become the dominant force in their lives.
I believe Stephen's phone died on him, and he should be calling back in, I'm hoping. If not, we'll just continue along here. But the point is, Red, you refuse to accept the counterfeit jurisdiction of this federal government, and they have not been successful in changing or turning over your election, your voluntary election, not to be subject to them. And because of that, you've kept Yahweh God at the top of the pecking order. We've got about 2 minutes left, Stephen. If you're back in, Kate, can you give him a live mic? I want to let him finish his thought at least. We've only got about 2 minutes left. But Red, thank you very much, Stephen.
Oh yeah, I don't know where I was when I got lost there. You were asking me about the choice of jurisdiction, the choice of of jurisdiction, whether you're subject or not. If you're born,
I'm not talking about people born within their jurisdiction or domain. I'm talking about a person like me who was born a natural born citizen of the state of Tennessee, and that now domiciles in Colorado. I'm not a federal employee. I understand that puts you subject to them. I'm talking about people who have not been born within that territory, or have not been employed by them. That's who I'm talking about.
All right. Well, being employed by the federal government does not put you within their jurisdiction. That's the most common misconception in the patriot community. Jurisdiction is a territorial subject matter. You cannot extend your jurisdiction from one government to another. It's impossible. So there needs to be some fine-tuning. It can't be done in 2 minutes. On the thinking that we have accepted among the patriot community, are you limited in what you can do legally? Do they have control of your finances? Yeah, those are all different subjects. But when you get right down to it, jurisdiction is the blockade that prevents the federal government from coming in and screwing with our lives.
Let me be pointed about it. We're about out of time. I want to be pointed. Are you in the jurisdiction, or are you personally subject to that federal government?
Absolutely not.
Who are you subject to?
The only,
Well, doggone it, if the people across this country just grabbed that simple fact alone, a lot of our problems would go away, would it not?
At least 98% of them would.
There you go. That's what the counterfeit has done. That's what the dumbing down has done. That's what the lies have done. That's what the satanic counterfeits have accomplished, because they've convinced people across this country that they're subject to a jurisdiction that they are not subject to. We are out of time. Thank you for joining us, Stephen. I'm sorry we didn't have more time to give you there. Red, great. Kate, thank you for your thoughts and comments and your guidance in chat, too. Thank you for watching the Switchboard. That's all for tonight. Yahweh bless. We'll see you next week on Walls in Our Minds.
The armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free and not let Satan have one more. What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if his people prayed and those who bear his name would only seek his faith, yeah, and turn from their wrong way? And what would happen if we prayed for those raised up to lead the way? Then maybe kids in school could pray and unborn children see light of day. What if the light that we pursue came from a hunger for the truth? What if the family turned to Jesus, stopped asking Oprah what to do? What if his people prayed and those who bear his name would only seek his faith, yeah, and turn from their own? He said that he would hear. His promise has been made. He answered loud and clear, yeah. If only we would pray. If I